cast for mercy. Father, we bless you, Lord. Bless you tonight. Hallelujah. The Lord will have mercy on us in Jesus' name. Amen. Have your seat in God's presence.
Praise the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I'm so grateful to God for granting us the privilege of fellowship tonight. Amen. And we have our Father in our midst. Papa Ayo is in our midst tonight. Amen. You can have your seat. You can have your seat. You know, since morning I have been having a feeling, and I believe that it's from the Lord, you know. I have been perceiving a spiritual aroma, you know, and I believe it's from the Lord. I believe that tonight we can receive a stain from heaven. You know that stain. That stain that links us eternally, that makes us look for the face of Jesus. You know, when you are longing for his presence, it's because something from his presence has stained your soul. You understand that? And tonight, I believe that God will help us tonight. You know, we're having fellowship tonight, like we always do. But I believe that there is a reward for tonight's fellowship. Is that not a beautiful thing? Is it not a beautiful thing? You know, fellowship is one of the greatest heights of spiritual interaction. Fellowship. Fellowship is greater than commerce. Are you with me? What did I say?
Fellowship is greater than commerce.
It's greater than commerce. The idea behind commerce is that it is transactory. I came to receive something. But the idea of fellowship is that I came to enter and to be entered. Are we together, friends? Now, when your soul understands fellowship, and when fellowship becomes the basis of our gathering, then life can be born. You see, the fruit of fellowship is life. Now, the fruit of commerce is gain. Are we together, friends?
Yes, sir.
The fruit of commerce is what?
Gain.
Is gain. You see? And gain is never the fruit of life. Am I not correct? Gain is not the fruit of life. There is gain in life, but gain is not the fruit of life. You see, godliness is not gain. You see? But when we gather as on the basis of commerce, the best we can get is gain. But when we gather on the basis of fellowship, what happens to us?
Life
happens to us. Now, when life happens, destiny is automatic. Destiny is what?
Automatic.
Is automatic, because life is the producer of grace. And grace is the tool for destiny. You know, I believe that you will not sweat in life. Amen. And that's because you will come into the grace of your life. Your life has grace. Are we together here? Are we together here? You know, I believe in you. And there is a reason why I do. It is because I feel the rate at which God believes in you. You understand? God believes in you. Because he knows what he made. And if you access what God made, if you can access it, then your life will be an expression and a manifestation of grace. And what did the Bible say? The Bible said, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and what? The fellowship. You see? So when there is fellowship, there will be grace. Are you with me? You see? There will be grace. If there is one protocol, Kenneth, that we need to be restored in our gathering, is the protocol of fellowship. If we restore the protocol of fellowship, we will live in the grace of God. Oh, the least of us will be full of grace. I tell you the truth. If we restore the protocol of fellowship, if fellowship becomes the spirit of our gathering, then grace will be our common experience. Listen, as I'm speaking, I see you walk in grace. Amen. I see you. I tell you the truth. Amen. I tell you the truth. I see you walk in the power of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Grace. Amen. You are not going to live the way ordinary men live. Amen. No, you have lost permission to do that. Why? Because the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Spirit. Listen, this is why God is never afraid, you see, to make you come to the earth through any means. What I mean is, you could have come from Europe, come from America, come from Africa, come from all of that is inconsequential. Because your true life has no earthly advantage. Your true life does not get its advantage from the earth. So you wouldn't have been better if you were born by Bill Gates. Because until you find grace, you haven't found life. So he's not afraid to make you come from that dysfunctional home. He's not afraid to make you start from anywhere. If you like, start from -0, start from anywhere. It's inconsequential because eventually, every man starts living when he hits grace. Oh. If the church of our Lord Jesus Christ can gather I don't want to use the word principle. Understanding fellowship. Do you even know that if man and wife understand fellowship, they will burn things? They did not say when two or three are gathered in my name, I am there. They did not say that if two of you shall agree on a thing. What kind of power is that? That there is a power that if we agree, it's done. Oh, we agree. The Lord says that if we agree, it's done. What if we learn how to agree? What if we understand the principles and the protocols of agreement? That means there will be nothing. That means the greatest power will be with the church. Fellowship. I think we all need to go home. I said, this family must be what? Fellowship. You come inside me, I come inside you. Naked, unashamed. Are you together with me? Receiving our various strengths and covering our various shame. Yes. And the power will explode in our midst. I wish I could hear people say we are powerful together. Yes. Powerful. I tell you the truth. I'm telling you the truth. There is no ordinary person that my eye is seeing here. You are not ordinary. You are supernatural. I tell you the truth. You are supernatural. If you come in touch with your grace, then your destiny will shine. I tell you, it will shine in the light of what God has ordained for you. I can't find a beggar here. No beggar here. No beggar here. All I see are the doers and the expressions of divine nature, divine counsel, divine purpose. No beggar is here. Nobody. You know, Lola, I was watching you lead worship. It was such a powerful one. You were leading. Very powerful one. But you know, you can go back there and say, Lord, who am I with you? And keep pressing into him. And then something else comes out of us. Because we don't even know who we are. You see, until he reveals himself to us, we can't even know ourselves. You know, I see light shining through you. Do you see it?
Yes,
I see you, light. I see you. You see, tonight, you lose the consideration. You lose the ability to consider an ordinary life.
Amen.
The option refuses to exist.
Amen.
You lose your ability to consider it. Oh, I wish I could hear your voice. Oh, my goodness. I have a strong sense in my spirit that the anointing of our Lord Jesus Christ is in our midst. I just have that sense in my spirit. I tell you the truth. I believe that there is an unction. It's in our midst. It will link you to your supernatural you. It will link you to you in God. I sense it. I smell it. Oh. There is no power in our human abilities. It is worthless and useless. I believe you are latching on to unction tonight.
Amen.
Oh, if you saw my heart, you would know I'm not exciting you. I'm telling you what I feel, what I see. I want you to believe with me. Tonight, can you fight for destiny and say, Lord, I am here for you, Lord. The spirit and the glory of God is in our midst. I tell you the truth. I tell you the truth. Only Namaya Kalabas. Oh, hold on. Hold on. Let the intensity continue with your soul. But keep pushing with your soul. But let's do Bible study a little. Oh, there's something for you here. I believe that your maker came to visit you tonight. When we are one, it's a different ball game entirely. It's a different ball game. You know, when I was 17 years old, those were the days where I began to smell this type of unction, the unction of the Spirit, that makes a man know that his life is with God, and that makes a man live for that, you know. It's a beautiful thing. Is it not a beautiful thing? It's a beautiful thing. Father, we thank you for tonight. We bless you. We thank you for tonight. It's a beautiful thing. You know, your days of sorrow, because you see, sorrow, sorrow is a knowledge, and it's a lie. Those days are over.
Amen.
Days of sorrow are over. The days where you pity yourselves have come to an end.
Amen.
You will not pity yourself again.
Amen.
You know what I hear you say always? From your spirit, I hear you say, thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
It will be what will be coming from your belly. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You see, because you are no more seeing what Satan is saying. The veil has been taken away. And then you are saying, thank you, Lord Jesus. It means something has been awakened inside you. Oh. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I'm more than this. I'm more than this. Oh. And when we say we are more than this, we are not saying we have no money. We are not saying there's money in the future. We are saying there is a godness. There is a godliness. I'm more than this. Let us look at the scripture a little from the book of Genesis chapter 2. We'll start from verse 6. Is it not a blessing that you are here?
Jesus.
It is. It's a blessing. Let's go to verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. You see, and man became a living being. Are you together with me?
Yes, sir.
Now, this man here that you are seeing in Genesis chapter 2 is not just the oxygen man. Are you with me? You see, the oxygen man is a product of the fall. You see, this particular man is not just the oxygen man. He's not sustained by oxygen. Are we together, friends? He's sustained by a life from God. Now, in the next verse, we see here that the Lord God planted a garden. Now, the beautiful thing about Genesis 1, Genesis 2, and Genesis 3 is that the scripture in Genesis 1, 2, 3 are extremely spiritual scriptures. Spiritual in the sense that the dynamics of things in Genesis 1, Genesis 2, and Genesis 3 is not the same dynamics, you know, as we have it now. So when you see tree in Genesis 1, Genesis 2, or Genesis 3, it's not speaking mango tree, you see. There was a lot of use of allegories and all of that. The reason was because the quality of life at that time supersedes the quality of life that we have now. Are we together here? And so there is a very close similarity with the book of Genesis 1, 2, 3. And when you go and read the book of Revelations, you know, also. Because the book of Revelations, a lot of it also describes the world after, you know, the end of the earth. For example, when you read Revelations 21, Revelations 22, you begin to see another tree and another river there. Are you with me? And that has leaves and has fruits and brings healing to the nations. Now, if you look at that just naturally, you will miss the message. Are we together here? So there are spiritual books that have spiritual realities. Amen. You see, because it's more than a physical thing. So in this case, we see here that God planted a garden eastward in Eden. And there he put the man whom he had formed. Now, this is a very beautiful story. Because there's a whole lot to learn in this particular verse. Because we see two entities coming to be in the same location. The first entity we see here is a man that he formed. And the second thing we're seeing here is a garden that he planted. And so it's like fusing a hardware and a software together. Are you together with me? A man that he formed and a garden that he planted. So most of the times it might be impossible to live in the garden that was planted you if you are not becoming the man that he wants to form. If you are going to be in the garden he planted, then you must be the man that he formed. You see, because it is the man he formed that he will put in the garden he planted. Are you together with me? And that's some serious power. You see, the garden represents dimensions of spiritual realities that is peculiarly allocated to you. But the Lord is taking you through formations so that you can fit into the garden he ordained for you. Are you together with me?
Yes,
but until he forms you, you will be out of your garden. Are you together with me? And so there is a supernatural unison that God is intending to create. He's created a spiritual possibility for you, but at the same time, he is tweaking you to be in alignment with that spiritual possibility so that a masterpiece can be revealed. You see, a masterpiece is meant to be unveiled. You are meant to be a masterpiece. You see, not just a masterpiece, but a masterpiece that is living in the place of divine peace. You see, the garden represents your divine peace, your divine place, your abode. Are you together with me? Has he not said that he has blessed us with all spiritual blessings? Where? In heavenly places. Where? In Christ Jesus. So your destiny can never be the great, to have the greatest career. Are you together with me? It means that there is a spiritual garden ordained for you. It's in Christ Jesus. But he's forming you to make you one with that garden. So those tweakings are going on so that you can become one with your garden. Are you with me? By garden, I'm talking about a peculiar spiritual identity. A peculiar intimacy that you have with the Lord. Are you together with me? That brings your functionality, your personal functionality to its fullness. So you are fully functioning under grace, under power. You see, because you have allowed the Lord to form you. Now, the challenge, are you with me? The challenge many times why we don't allow the Lord to form us as he would have to form us, the challenge is a challenge of hope. You see, because sometimes you are arranging your life in the direction of a false hope. So you are being formed contrary to your spiritual identity because you haven't seen where he's taking you to. Are you together with me?
Yes,
so many times we have a hope. Sometimes the hope, most times the hope is earthly. Are you with me? And so we begin to arrange our lives in line with earthly hope. But what we notice is that we begin to fall short of grace and fall short of peace. Are you together with me? You see, plenty without peace and grace is a curse. I tell you the truth. Peace and grace is the measurement of accuracy. Your account cannot measure accuracy. Is the level of peace and grace going on inside of you. If the inward life is not getting more refreshed and refreshed, a curse is going on. Are my friends here? So he's forming us to fit us into a garden. To fit us into a dimension of divine possibilities. Not just possibilities as per doing, but possibilities as per oneness. Oneness with him. So he put the man that he formed in the garden that he planted. What a beautiful thing. Oh, what a beautiful thing. You know what that means? It means from the first day you gave your life to Christ, there is a garden prepared for you. And God is forming you every day to become one with that garden. So that you can work that garden. So that you can release the fruits of that garden to the nations. You can release the fruit of that garden to your family. You can release the fruit of that garden to your community. So it means that immediately you got saved. The next vision and the next dream is not to liberate you economically. Oh, are you together with me? The plan of God is not just to liberate you economically. The plan of God is to walk you into your garden. Are you together with me? He's walking you into what? Into your garden. Into your own peculiar spiritual identity with him. Are we together, friends?
Yes,
you know, and by the grace of God, that is becoming your own vision by the grace of God. Oh, beautiful. Beautiful. Is it not a beautiful thing? Is it not a beautiful thing?
Yes,
it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing to be human and you know God.
Yes.
You see, not on the basis of accuracy or on the basis of I know all of him, but you just know that your life is in sync. And God is flowing. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. It's our hope. It's our dream. It's our passion. It's our desire. When we are walking in holy sync. So it is the man he formed. Are you with me? And you know, every contradiction of life It's an opportunity to get another level of formation from God. Yeah. When life brings contradiction, it's because God is giving you an opportunity to interface with Him so that you can break into a revelation. Are you with me? I tell you, you see, the primary purpose of God for your life is not to solve your problems, it's to reveal things to you. Because revelation births life. So when you are facing contradiction, the end game for God is not just to solve it, it's to reveal truth. And when you break into revelation, you're broken into life. Ah, yeah, yeah. So some people can pray for a God to calm the storm, while others can understand the destiny of the storm and say, we can sleep in it. It's going to calm down by itself. It's a superior power. I tell you the truth. You are stepping into it. You know what I heard? You are not going to have joy later. You are going to have joy now. It's a mystery. You know the mystery I'm saying? I say the mystery of people who are different places in the natural, but having the same holy response to God. It's confusing to men. The poor, the rich, the short, the tall, the teenager, the white man, the black man, and everybody is having the same joy to God. And so the question is, why are you having joy? Because the joy comes from something that is beyond what man can see. Righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Spirit. That is the kingdom. We have found access to the kingdom. You see, tonight your soul has a kingdom experience. Yeah. You latch on to the kingdom. Yeah. And you begin to get definition from the kingdom. Yeah. Can you give God praise for that? So the Bible says that the man that God formed, what did he do to him? He put him in the garden. What garden? The one that he made. The one he created. You see, what's the next verse? And out of the ground, the Lord made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. And the tree of life was also in the midst of the garden. And the tree also, and then this tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Praise God. Now a river went out of Eden to water the garden from and the patterned and became foreigners. Give me the elements. Give me the next verse. The next verse. Another verse, please. And the Lord took the man and put him in the garden, right? To tend and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden, you may what? You may freely. That's the thing about that garden. When you are operating in that garden, one sign you will notice is that you will notice ease. You will notice ease. That's why I tell you, pursue ease. Don't pursue plenty. No, pursue ease. Ease is where God is. Pursue ease. You see, let grace be your sign. Are you with me? Let grace motivate you. Because you can pursue plenty and lose your soul. But pursue ease. You see, where you find ease is the sign that your garden is there. Are you together with me? But when you find out that, you see, because after this ease, the next thing we saw is that you, out of your sweat you shall now eat. After the ease, the next thing we saw is that because you have gone off, and what did they do? They chased him out of that garden. You see, when you are out of the garden, you will eat from what? From sweat. But you know what? We are learning to return to the garden again. Ease, Lord. Ease, Lord. Ease is where you are. We don't want much. We want ease. Oh, we want ease, friends. We want ease, brother. We want ease. No. It's not. We are not crying for plenty. We are crying for ease. Oh, you see, ease and plenty are not in the same level. You can't compare them. You can't compare them. Ease is not plenty. Ease is not small. Ease just means everlasting. Ease just means eternal. Ease means God. Ease means unlimited. Ease. He says you will freely eat. Friends, you see, stop being afraid. Stop being afraid. Stop being afraid. You see, fear is the police of the fallen world. Is the prison word of the fallen world. Fear tells us how to obey death. Fear tells us how to what?
Obey
death. It forces us to obey death. But we are joyous rebels. I said we are joyous rebels.
Yes.
We rebel joyfully. We rebel stresslessly. Are you not a joyous rebel?
Yes.
A joyous rebel. When everybody is going there, we are going here.
Yes,
we are not active. It's not activism. It's joy.
Yes,
it's joy. We don't have a problem with anybody. We are just happy.
Yes.
Hey, we are just joyful in the Lord. Oh, he has become our light and our salvation.
Yes.
It's our light and our salvation. We are not afraid of anything.
Yes.
So we are joyous rebels. We stay in the garden that he placed us.
Yes.
We are not looking out. We are not looking out. We are happy already.
Yes.
Blessed already.
Yes.
Chosen already.
Yes.
Fulfilled already.
Yes.
Are you not joyful?
Yes.
We are joyful. We stay in our garden. We stay in the dictates of the garden. We stay in the command of the garden. Oh, glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus. The sweetness of fellowship is restored to you. Tonight. Sweetness of fellowship. Sweet. The sweetness of fellowship. Oh. Ora kabarada la bashaka barada baba baba baba. Ayadu eke lege biashaka varadile kebis. Ashasha. Legia orobo bo 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 bo. Ila itang boom beninua. Aramo. Aragia besiama. Our glorious life is inside us. Eshe karadolia bene. Ayaga gabunye veseka barada baya. Uragado siamenia. Oh, sha. Hey! There is a witness in my belly. A witness. Can you tamper with that holy witness?
Pastor was trying to describe patterns. You will always see God through patterns. You will see God through processes, but most importantly, you see God through patterns. And the reason why you have the Bible, this document that is packaged for us, is for us to understand how God works. It's for us to be able to relate to how he works, and you'll be able to see patterns. One of the things we saw in Genesis is patterns. Even though the man fell, in that Genesis 2, the man in Genesis 2, 8 fell, the same pattern was restored when the second Adam came. And the pattern that was restored, the difference is just that. What you saw in the first description of man, which is Adam, is a bit different for what the restored man, the pattern is a bit different, but following the same order in the second Adam. When Christ came to restore mankind into what is the original intent of God, He put him back into a different ecosystem. Please sit down. And if you don't understand this, you may not be able to function so well. The first Adam was placed in a garden, planted eastward. The Bible says the man he formed, he put him there. So, in God's intention, God prepares a system wherein his purpose will what? Will function the most, will function best, where he will do well. As a matter of fact, you need to understand this pattern. That what it takes to live was not man's making. What it takes to survive was not man's making. And it's a fundamental truth you must uphold. Whatever man will wish to do or be or become was not in himself to decide. Whatever man will think to eat or wear or become was even put in place before him. So the garden was planted before the man was made. Are you with me? So the ecosystem is prearranged before the man was even created. And this is still the same order. Now, we get it all mixed up if we think we are the one trying to survive. What we need to find out is, what is that system that God has prepared ahead of me that fosters my living? Do you get it? So the dream of man, all he could ever dream, came before him. All he could ever wish to eat came before him. So if there is any desire wired inside man, it's a possibility that existed before him. You didn't get that. If there is anything man could dream to do within that ecosystem, it was pre-created. It was pre-arranged before he came. It wasn't that when man came and God now started studying his desire, and he now started looking for how to put things together, look for the chemistry to put things together in order for that desire to come. So there was nothing within the widest of human desire that was not predetermined. So that man you saw that was put in the garden was put inside possibility. That's why it functions with his. When you are within your ecosystem, you function the best. And your ecosystem is where God puts you. Are we together? So when it's God that puts you there, if God puts you in an office, the best of resources is there, even if you can't see it. When God puts you in Nigeria, the best, all you ever need to be, all you will be in God is there. If God put you in the poorest family, it's not a disadvantage. It's you that didn't understand that anywhere you are put, resources have been wired in it. So what do you pray for at that point? Open my eyes. So even if your mom is a witch, you didn't put yourself there. Do you get this? Somebody said, my dad is the most wicked dad in heaven. There are things you didn't apply to have. I used to have a friend who told me, I happened to be the son of a mad woman. And I never met the mad woman. But as the Lord will have it, the mad woman had this baby in the best place for the guy to start his life from. If he had come through another vessel, he wouldn't have started from that place. Because those white people took him away. They took him away. They rearranged his life. He became one of the most brilliant missionaries I had ever met. If he was born into a very lovely settlement, he couldn't have been what he is today. Now, what am I saying? Look at your neighbor and say, you are not disadvantaged. The biggest lie of Satan is to feel you are disadvantaged. Even when you didn't go to school. Some of you say, I've not been privileged to have that kind of life. It is not disadvantage. Yes. There are days God is looking for the weak things of this world. So, let me tell your neighbor, he probably put you there and you never knew. First thing, I like to communicate to the house this evening. Now the second thing is, I want to take time to just describe two things. The first is, you must understand that your life and the possibilities around your life is not determined by you. God put you somewhere. And where he puts you is the best of places your purpose is supposed to thrive from. Do you pick that word, thrive? There are some places, if you plant some seed, they won't grow. But a farmer knows where to put. While I was small, I wanted to imitate my dad who planted yam at the backyard. So I got my own space. And I went to, I made ridges and planted yam. But I made a mistake. I felt I should put water every day like a planted flower. But the system that fosters the growth of yam does not require for you to put water every day. You leave it to rot it, and the humidity of that environment causes the yam to begin to look for water by itself. That is the root system that makes the yam to become big. When water begins to come, it's already established. I didn't understand that. So immediately I began to put water every day. All my seedlings died and rotten. My dad's own were growing because he just left it. He knows the procedure. Every seed don't grow in the same area. Not even in the same climate. That's why you came where you came from. That's the best system to foster your purpose. That's the best system. So if you find out why you are there, heaven will be interested in you. Heaven will begin to smile on you because you want to find out purpose. All right. Now, the second thing is, we are looking at how it all began. And God is adopting the same pattern in raising the ecclesia. You know, the ecclesia means the church, the called out ones. The called out ones have his own, don't let me use the word ecosystem because it's a biology word. It has its own environment for survival. So, let me take a scripture. So, when the first step of the believers who are going to become the building blocks for the church, Jesus began to gather them. They had an idea of how it should run. The first thing they approached is, we need to take over systems and government. So they said to Jesus, because that was his first appearance after his resurrected body. And they asked him, will you at this time restore the kingdom back to Israel? Because the idea is that if we're going to do kingdom, we're going to start big. You know, one of us is just going to take over government. And when we take over government, we'll now say everyone that killed Jesus must be arrested. And we'll now detain them and jail them. Then the kingdom is spreading. Then we conquer Africa, Then we establish the kingdom over the earth. And Jesus didn't even argue with them about conquest. The first thing he said to them is, it is not with you to know the date and times that God has kept in his power. So Jesus is actually trying to say to them, you see, in this program, God is so precise that there are dates. I'm going the prophetic order. You know, if you understand purpose, God is so precise that something is not about your prayer. It's about the kairos. At that date, it will happen if you're in God. If you think it's not in your Bible, look at your screen. You will see. It is not for you to know times and seasons. If you give me the NLT will use the word date. The Father alone has authority to set those dates and times. And if you think I'm joking about dates and times, you will understand that the Bible says when the day of Pentecost was fully come, it won't happen another date. If you don't understand date, you will understand that Jesus quickly said they needed to eat the Passover because he must die in that season. Do you get it? Yes, the people that were eating Passover with him didn't understand. But God has scheduled a program. And it is well planned with precision of dates. It is that applicable to your life. One of the things I've noticed about my life. When I pray and things are not shifting, I submit it to Kairos. Because God is a master planner. If you go outside the date, you will be like a caterpillar that came out of the cocoon. You will die. The program will not survive. The maturity date for the birth of the ecclesia was the day of Pentecost. It was not because they were really praying. Prayer was just preparing them for that date. So Jesus, most of the time, advises you to be properly positioned for seasons. Are you going on with that truth again? This is the ecclesia. Now, another thing you must understand about this ecclesia is that the intent of God concerning this ecclesia is that their own ecosystem will be different. Their own ecosystem is not going to be a garden, but a gathering. Did you get me? Fellowship is the home of the ecclesia. If you give me time to teach, I will explain this to you so well. Or you think he couldn't have just gone to visit Peter and do everything with Peter and give him a mantle and say, Peter, go and start the church. No. They must start as a community. The best place for the Lord to release his spirit is the place of communion. People look for power on the mountain, but the real investment of God comes to the community. Behold how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the oil that runs from the head of Aaron down his beard and onto his garment. It is like the dew of Hermon that brings refreshment to the mountain of Zion. For there the Lord commands. Where does he command his blessing? Where brethren dwell together. God commands something there. That's the strength of the early church. The strength of the early church was not showmanship. The strength of the early church was community. That was why they could They could walk, and an individual will walk, and his shadow will heal the sick. Why? Because the supply was not seasoned. Why was the supply not seasoned? The atmosphere was intact. Now, so many of us want to return to the old, where a man will go to the mountain to bring the template. But God said the system here now is that you will wait together. In one accord. You don't know the possibilities of supplies available in this gathering. You don't know. Because when you see God move people together like this, there are dates he has set. There are times he has set. There are programs. That's why you see, a time will come, the order will be now be to scatter again because the supply has come. If you look at that act of apostles, chapter number 1, let me just read a portion and you can pray. Now, you are going to pray right now with the possibility of drawing supplies. I was teaching some few days ago, and I was teaching about impartation. And I was saying to them, there are things that you will not promise except the atmosphere is ripe. Everything Paul was writing to the Romans were instructive and powerful. But when it came to impartation, he said, I long to see you. Because it is in the atmosphere of fellowship that God opens it. That day, Paul will become a vessel. The thing he touched will flow round. Come on. And the thing Zach touched will flow. I will be a partaker. The thing I touched will flow. He will be a partaker. The thing that Laolu touched will flow. Will be a partaker. The meaning of koinonia is joint ownership. Joint sharing. Whenever God puts anything right here, it belongs to all. The word fellowship, koinonia. Get your lexicon. Let somebody quickly get it. We still have up to 10 minutes to speak. The word fellowship, you can look it up from, maybe look it up from 1 John chapter number 1 and verse 2 or verse 3. And look, koinonia. I like that word from, especially from verse 3. The koinonia then means to share. It means to come into joint partnership. Who has lexicon already? Who wants to give us that word fellowship there? Koinonia. Yeah.
Partnership, that is literally participation or social interaction.
So when we are having fellowship, we are having participation. We are involved in something together. It's not only that. We are having a social, put the word social there. Social what?
Social intercourse.
Social intercourse. That is a connection. What else is there?
Or pecuniary benefaction.
Oh, that one is too big for me.
To communicate or communication, communion, contribution, distribution, fellowship.
Communion is there. Contribution is there. So when it comes to distribution, that's where we go to the dimension that is called impartation. The life, the ecosystem of the ecclesia is called fellowship. We will not grow alone. Immediately Jesus met with Paul, he introduced him to the body immediately. He didn't take him to the bush to go and speak to him secretly. He said, see, that's why you have to be well trained. Because Jesus will soon meet somebody at the bus stop of your house and he'll be looking for who to hand him over to. so you will know where to take him. Little wonder it was Ananias that took him to the body. Who brought you in? If you are not in, you are nowhere. Even if you have seen a lion on the mountain, who called himself the Lion of Judah, is probably not Yeshua. If Yeshua finds you, he will put you. When Yeshua finds you, you know what he's going to do? He will put you in the garden. The garden this time around is not an ecosystem. It is a place of fellowship. So if you want to thrive, where will you be? I didn't hear people talking. Have you found one? When you see your brethren, you have found life. That's why God had to kill Ananias and Sapphira. Because what he was, you know, it's not today that you cannot be open to one another. That day was the day of the Lord's house. They were one. I don't know how well we can attain that place again. People can use Pastor Lau Lu's car and he will not be scared. You know, he just bought 4 brand new old shock absorber. And the brother came and said, you know, I want to go and pay my wife's dowry in Elisha. So the pastor said we should take your car. He said, okay, my car. And we just scheduled for another maintenance. Why? Because you don't understand the body. That is where your power is. When we attain that level, God can bring anything. So that's why Jesus himself could tell us. He said, this is your strength. Matthew 18:19, right? He said, for if two of you shall agree as touching anything, he didn't say something, he said anything on a, the two of you he's talking about are the people that have come to understand koinonia. And when he was describing koinonia in 1 John chapter number 1 verse 3, he called it what we share is not just among ourselves. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son. What is with the Father? No, wait now. What is it that is with the Father that we collect? 2 Corinthians 13:14. What is it that with the Son we collect?
Grace.
Good! This is my pastor. Come on, give me. It's you. You claim it. You are my, I already gave you. You can't turn it down. What is it? This one is my papa. What is it that we fellowship with in the Father? Grace. The love. The love of God. First, I mean, 2 Corinthians 13:14. The grace of our Lord. That's what we go to share.
Hey.
What do we share with the Father?
The love.
Oh. What makes the, who makes the fellowship happen?
Holy Spirit.
That's why his name is not present in 1 John 1:3. In 1 John 1:3, that which you have seen, that which you have seen and heard and declared to you that we may have fellowship with us. Truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son. So I ask, why are you always omitting the Holy Spirit? Because he's the one that makes the fellowship happen. That's why in 2 Corinthians 13:14, they call it the fellowship of the Spirit. But the original thing we go to share is what? Grace and love. All our investment is there. Are you ready to come to more grace? Are you ready to be exposed to more of His love? When we come to the love that surpasses knowledge, ife ti ko ni alaye o won le laye o. It is more than what your brain can handle. That's the love of God. It says that you may know the love of God that surpasses knowledge. I said, can someone love like this? You say, I doubt it. That's why some of us don't understand the love of God. Why? Because the love we know is I pay you back like you pay me. What ecosystem has he brought the ecclesia to now? Do we want to preserve it? That's what we want to preserve. And don't forget, when he began to build this church, he said to them, see, just wait. Wait. And he said, you will receive power. There is power in this fellowship. Let me tell you something. He didn't say you will receive tongue when the Spirit is come. It looks to me as if the proof of power is your tongue. And some people hold the tongue and they leave the power. Come on, are you here?
Yes, sir.
He said, you will receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And that power is the power to become witnesses. It is that power that draws you in God's love. Why am I saying it's the power to become witnesses? Because that power makes you, the word witnesses is the word metaya, which is the same word for martyrdom. Who is a martyr? The one that is persecuted for the purpose. It means when you receive power, the power makes you so shameless that you can even die for what you believe. That's a power first. The reason why Peter and the rest of the guys who were afraid of being killed before could step out is now because they have received power. Even if you want to kill me, you will be right to do so. But this thing that I've touched, I'm ready. Let me tell you something. Until you become selfless, you are not powerful. Until you come to martyrdom in the place of fellowship, you can defend that faith, you can stand for it, you can represent it. There must be significant signs of death on a daily basis. That means you have received power. When you are still gagging around your mundane things, you have not received power. When you have received power, you become very selfless. You can even endure persecution. There is nothing you can't give. You are ready. You can step out where you used to be ashamed. That's what it means to receive power. And when you get to that arena, things will happen that you didn't even bargain for. You will carry out strange ministries. You carry out operations that are beyond you that you never thought could happen. That Peter will be going in his shadow. People will go and place people there. And it's not affecting his heart. It's still very ordinary in his heart. And people, he'll be walking. His shadow will be healing the sick. Are we ready to come back to that place? Let's take the effect of our fellowship to the world so that the world will know that Yeshua is still alive. Don't forget, he's told us, see, no matter how interested you are in me, if I don't equip you, you can't do much. And the only way to do it is you have to receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. The Holy Ghost is the resource for life. Of the Spirit, for the life of the kingdom, the Holy Ghost is. No, none of us have what it takes. Come on. The guys who have been with Jesus for 3 years, who have done miracles before, he told them, you have to wait. If I don't bring you there, you don't have the qualification. The fact that you have been with me over years does not mean you have it. In fact, some guys who have never met me in the flesh will do so much when the Holy Ghost comes upon them. And the atmosphere of the Holy Ghost is where? The atmosphere of fellowship. He didn't come to them until they were in one accord. Come on your feet, let's pray together. Let's pray. Let's pray together. Hold somebody's hand and just pray with your brother. Pray with your sister. Say, my brother, I pray with you. My sister, I pray with you. Ayido Masala. Say, I stand before you, Father, praying with my brother, praying with my sister. Let your glory fall. You know, Jesus said, the glory that you have given to me, I have given to them, that they may be one as we are one. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I see the Lord granting people access to the warmth of his love again. You don't know how, but it's drawing you. It's drawing you. For he said, I have loved you with an everlasting love. And I have drawn you with my loving kindness. I see drawings. I see veils leaving people's heart. I see the warmth of God's love bringing recoveries. Whew, great recoveries. I see the charisma. I see graces. I see abilities. I see giftings being awakened. Come on. I see dreams coming alive again. I see visions coming alive again. I see impartations of grace. Charismas. Charisma, spiritual graces, abilities, all these are available in the place of fellowship. I see people touching fresh grace. Come on, I see recoveries. And the Lord is saying to say to you that the things you lost are coming back. And I'm restoring to you in double folds, some in seven folds. Yeah, and the Lord says I'm bringing completeness. For your new season is going to become with completeness. For the things you thought you lack, you will see no more. And I will cause you to come to perfections. And I will cause you to come to establishment. And I will cause you to come to strength again. For behold, I will strengthen you again. For grace is available. Step into this supply. I see so many coming into supplies. Eat and drink for the journey. I see people coming into supply that will take them through journeys, through times. Like Elijah got a supply for 40 days. Yes, a thing that will take you through journeys, journeys a year, journeys of years. It is coming to you in the name of the Lord. The Lord is causing you to understand the mystery of fellowship. That the Spirit of the Lord is brooding upon you again. Like the bread that came to the first Adam. That the bread of heaven is coming on you again. And I see the Lord restore your soul. Everything that is depleted is coming back to fullness. Coming back to wholeness. And the Lord said to tell you, each time you come to me, you are coming to wholeness. For in my presence is fullness, fullness, fullness of joy. For I'm taking so many of you out of average. I'm bringing you to fullness, fullness, fullness. Fullness, says the Spirit of the Lord. For in this season is completeness. In this season is your fullness. In this season your wholeness. And he says you should agree with him by responding with your sound. He said respond with your sound. He said respond to the Spirit with your sound. Be filled again. Be filled with the Holy Ghost. Receive power again.
Don't keep quiet. Release your song. You can speak in the Holy Ghost. You can release a song. You can let the Sabbath and the Rosemilla out. Nayera Boshada Bacandela Boros. Ele Rakada. Ele Comado Sada. Hey! Nayaya Barosaka da Wanda. Ele Kasaka. Fresh energy. You are no longer lukewarm. You are light. You are powerful. You are in a new speed. You have what it takes. You are not disadvantaged. Receive power. You are not sick. You are not broke. You are not down. You have received a fresh energy. Don't keep quiet, release your sound. Speak in the spirit. Speak in the spirit. I am a come on, shout a shout of faith. Shout a shout of faith. Shout a shout of victory. Shout a shout of faith. Shout a shout of faith.
Gashina, Gamuna, Sakiatana, Yana. Gashina, Gamuna, Yana. Gashina, Gamuna, Gamuna, Sakiatana. Shit, I got.
to all three are gathered. Lord, you said you'll be there. So Lord, we honor your presence. Where two or three are gathered, Lord, you said you'll be there. So Lord, we honor your presence.
Again, together.
Where two or three are gathered, Lord, you said you'll be there. So Lord, we are here. We honor your presence. Where two or three are gathered, Lord, you said you'll be there. Lord, we are here. We honor your presence. Hey, Kashina.
The shout of the king in the midst of his people. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to Jesus.